right. Galatians chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 13 this evening. Galatians chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 13. Go to Genesis first and read this. Genesis chapter 13. Again, it says, "And Abram went up." This is Genesis 13:1. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew. I encourage you to grab one if you don't have one. "And Abram went up," this is verse 1, "out of Egypt, he and his wife and all he had and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, and to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one of the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Let's pray. Father, we do ask you, Lord, once again, God, to help us this evening, Lord. And God, I pray that we've come desiring, God, to hear, God, to have the Word of God speak to our hearts as only you can. And Lord, it's not about what I think. It's not about what we say, but Lord, tonight is about what saith the Scriptures. And I pray tonight, God, that you just illuminate your word in our hearts this evening, Lord. And God, I pray for our young folks tonight. It was a joy to go by their classes earlier, and God, see them enjoying themselves. I just pray that you'll bless there in a special way. Help the workers, God, as they work with our young folk. And God, help us in here tonight, Lord. We sure need to hear from heaven. And God, we pray for the lost. God, I do ask you, Lord, God, to speak to hearts, God. I thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving somebody like me. But Lord, I'm sure there's people here tonight, God, maybe that's not saved. Lord, I'm sure we all know people that we work with or live beside of or kin to, Lord, that are lost. But God, give us an unction. God, give us a burden for lost people, Lord. And God, help us once again tonight, Lord, just to see you. And Lord, we're going to thank you, Lord, for that. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You be seated this evening. Just to remind ourselves a little bit of where we came from last time, we're going to look at Abram for several weeks now, and last week we looked at a special, I believe, time in Abram's life. We looked at that fact of how Abram, again, God asked Abram to do three things, and it's so simple. It's basically the same thing that you and I need to do in our lives today. God asked Abram, and hopefully you'll remember these things, he asked Abram, first of all, to leave thy country, and then to leave his kindred. And then to go to a land that he didn't know where he was going. And we looked at that fact of God has called Abram to do that. But we too, we cannot walk hand in hand to this world. For us to truly follow after Christ. And that's the choice. You know, God's not going to make you. God didn't make Abram. But Abram chose to follow God by faith. And we went over to Hebrews chapter 11 and saw that thought of faith. And how we saw that Abram was a man of a sojourning. He was a pilgrim in a land. But God told Abram to leave, and we know that Abram didn't do it right off the bat. We know he took his kindred with him, but it wasn't until after his daddy died that God took him to the next step. And God doesn't jump over his word. That's the reason it's so important that we see the word of God and we know what saith the scriptures. And we know that Abram finally left and got to the place where God was going to show him. We see him there. He builds that altar between Ai and Bethel. And we looked at that fact. And then we seen right after that, and this is what we looked at last week, the fact that there was a famine in the land. Again, serving God is not easy. You're going to have trouble sometimes. You know, you think, well, preacher, that's not encouraging. It is encouraging to know truth. And to realize, yeah, we're going to face troubles, but we don't have to face them alone. And we know how Abram didn't do what God told him to do. When that famine hit, Abram made a choice to do what? Go down to Egypt. And we looked last week how that hurt Abram. And then we noticed a great picture. I hope you got a hold of that. We saw a great picture of repentance. We saw how Abram, when he saw that he was out of the will of God, that he picked up himself out of Egypt and went back to the place where God was. And that's where we took up this evening here in Genesis chapter 13. And we're going to start another, I call it a life lesson. I believe that tonight, just as last week, we could look at that lesson of when storms do hit. Tonight we're going to see another lesson. Isn't it great that the Bible still as modern today as it's ever been? People say, that's an old book. No, it's just as good today as it's ever been, and it'll be as good tomorrow as it's ever been. And a year from now, if the Lord doesn't come back, it'll be as good then too. But we're going to look at another life lesson tonight. And tonight's lesson is not a popular to the flesh lesson, I promise you that. It's one of these things that you just, you know, in the flesh, it's, again, one of those things you just don't really see the truth of it, but there is a great truth here this evening. Look with me over in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 this evening. This is sort of the whole shell of what we're going to see tonight. Galatians chapter 5, look in verse number 13. It says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another." And what he's saying there, listen, again, as we looked at a little bit Sunday morning, for you that was here with us Sunday morning, you can do whatever you want to do. A saved person can do anything a lost person can do in his flesh. But again, the Bible's warning us here. He says, "Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Again, we need to understand tonight, and this is where we're going to look at, tonight, if you're saved, and I don't know your heart, if you're not saved, that's the first step. You need to get saved. But if you're saved tonight, you and I need to have the understanding, and I hope most of us understand this. If you don't, I hope you will after tonight. God tells us there's an old man and a new man. And we've got to learn to fight against that old man. That old man is always on our heels. That old man, and it's just like Brother Roloff used to say, whatever dog you feed will be the dog that wins the fight. That same thing in my flesh. If I feed the worldly flesh, it wins. If I feed the spiritual side, it wins. So, and that's what we're going to see. And again, he says, don't use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous and vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And I know that's a lot of verses, but I want you to try to keep what we just read in our mind as we go through this great lesson of what, all the way back to Genesis chapter 13, what God is showing that we can. People say, well, that Old Testament, that's not for us today. You can't get any more for us than what we're going to see this evening. And I hope we'll get this tonight. So we're going to look at this next adventure here with Abram here and Lot. So we have Abram and Lot here. And I want you to see, Abram and Lot have walked together. Lot came with Abram from the time that God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees and says, get out of your country, leave your kinsmen. And Abram takes Lot as his own son. And here they are traveling together. And Lot experienced everything that Abram experienced. Lot experienced the traveling and the miseries of all that. Lot experienced the death of Abraham's dad. He experienced the famine. Lot experienced the same as Abraham did all that time in Egypt. So they've walked together, they've talked together, they've lived together through all these hardships, through all these disappointments, through all these problems. But it didn't tear them apart. Now, isn't that amazing? Through all that trouble, through all that trial, through all that turmoil, that didn't tear them apart. But we come here to Genesis chapter 13 and we find out that something did tear them apart. What was it? Stuff. Wealth. Now, isn't that amazing that all the troubles and trials didn't, but as soon as wealth and fame and all that comes on the scene, we find that there was turmoil. So, again, they walked together. They lived together. But wealth and prosperity is what tore them apart. Suffering brought them together, but wealth brought them to strife. And that's such a lesson, and I've seen it happen so many times. So many. You that's been married a long time. You look at those days when you didn't realize how you was going to pay your next bill. You realize, go back and look at those days when you didn't have but a couple of cans of beans in the cupboard and you didn't know what was going to feed the kids. Hard times. But let me ask you something. If you'll be honest with yourselves, were those not some of the best times? What happens in our own lives when things begin to get a little bit freed up? Oh, we're going to have more money. We're going to have more time. We're going to have more means. What usually happens? A lot of fussing and fighting. Is that not you look at your life. And I believe that's a great example of what God shows us of this truth. You look at our country. I've made mention of it several times over the years. I read a book, and I don't remember who wrote the book, but it was talking about the Great Depression era. And when I pastored up in the mountains, the majority of the folks that I pastored were in their upper 70s, 80 years old. And I talked to them all the time, and you know, they grew up during that Depression era. And they said, "Preacher, we didn't even know there was a Depression. So we just lived like we'd always lived." But one of the hardest times in our country's history, one of the darkest time of our country's history, war and depression and all those things. What brought our country out of that is the fact that our country came together and worked themselves out of that. You look at history, war has always been good because it usually brings people together. Now, I don't know if that's so much true in this last part of our days because I think people have got so off the wall, but you look at World War I, World War II, Vietnam era, Korea. You look at those time periods, that's something that we can sort of know something about. Our country, you know where Wednesday night Bible studies, prayer meetings came from? Wartime. Men had gone off to war and churches came together and began to pray because people were dying. They knew if God didn't intervene. So Abram and Lot, as they go through all this trouble and trial, never had a problem. Well, I'm not going to say never had a problem, but they didn't split up. They didn't have the strife. But as soon as we see this wealth, as soon as we see popularity, it brought forth strife. And even in churches, I've seen churches that started out small. And they got faithful members that just stuck in there and prayed and sought God and served God. And God began to bless and the church began to grow. And it blossomed out. And people said, well, we don't need God anymore. They might not have said it, but that's how they responded. And when they laid back and idled off the throttle a little bit, guess what came in? Envy and strife. So it happens in the church. That's the reason we've got to keep our heads down. That's the reason we've got to keep our nose to the grinding stone. We've got to keep pressing on. We're in a battle. We're in a war. But here we see again what destroyed this relationship is the same thing that destroys relationships today. Look at verses 5 and 6 back over in Genesis. What was the problem? We've made mention of it. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 13, verse 5 says, And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. How sad. How sad that we get to the place in our church that brothers and sisters couldn't dwell together. So sad in a home that families get to the... I'll be honest with you. I love my daddy. I really do. My daddy was put in one of those hard spots. My daddy was the executor of my grandpa's estate. And when my grandpa died, he brought his two brothers and his two sisters. Brought them all together and sat down, just them, nobody else, not their spouses, not their grandchildren. Says, look, there's not one thing in this house that's worth fighting for. He says, if we can't get along and do this the right way, he says, I'll sell every bit of it and split the money. And he meant it. You know why? I have never in my life seen good families fall apart any quicker as when mama or daddy dies and they start fighting over who's going to get what. How does that happen? That's my brother. That's my sister. Gloves come off. Why? What we're seeing here tonight. They could not dwell together. Their substance was so great. And again, suffering drives us to our knees. Suffering drives us together and makes us stronger. But when things get easy, when things get money in our pockets and we think we got it made, that's when we just sort of back off and don't take it as serious. And I got to thinking, and this is what we're going to look at here in just a little bit. We're going to look at Abram. We're going to look at Lot. And even the Bible tells us that how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And we're going to see this with Lot. There's a separation getting ready to take place. And it had to take place because God says they can't walk together. You can't walk one way and Lot walk the other way and think you're going in the same direction. But we're so blind to that. Look over in Proverbs chapter 15. This is what God says. Proverbs 15, look at verse number 17. This is what God says. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. It's better. Yeah, but if I had all that money, if I had this, if I had that, God says that's not better. God says it'd be better just to eat old nasty herbs with love in our hearts for one another than to have all that prosperity. So, again, it's a division. go back over to Genesis there. Look at another truth here about this strife. And I've had to deal with this. This is one of those sad things. Again, there was strife because of stuff. And notice verse 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite Perizzites dwelled then in the land. Have you ever tried to go out and witness, knock on somebody's door after a church split? You talking about news traveling through a community? When a preacher does something stupid or something blows up at the church house, everybody in the community will know that something's going on down there at Gospel Light that's bad. And then you try to go out there and tell them about the Lord, and all they want to talk about is all the bad. See what just took place? When that division comes into our homes, when that division comes into our church family, it affects our witnessing. And here, because of the division, here because of the strife between Abram and Lot, it not only affected them, but it affected all their herdsmen, and not only their herdsmen, but it affected the folks, the Perizzites and the Canaanites that were in that land. And we need to understand that when we let things like that get in our life, when the flesh overwalks the spirit, when we're living by the flesh and not the spirit, you are doing damage to other people that need to hear truth. And that's what the Lord shows us. So we're going to look again here at two men here tonight. The first one we're going to look at tonight is this great man of faith, this man by the name of Abram. And again, we looked last week that Abram wasn't a perfect man, but I believe Abram had a heart to follow after God. And again, he repented last week and he came back to that place. And he's going to mess up some more along the road that we'll see. But let's see what he done here in this situation. Again, let me make sure I get this quote right. It's been a while since I said this. I can't control what you do. I can only control what I do. Keep that in mind. Here, Abram, look at verse number 8. What did Abram do? And it's all about what you do in a circumstance when these things come upon you. Just like when that famine hit him last week. What did he do? He abandoned ship, jumped out, and ran to Egypt. Well, now something else is happening. Egypt's followed him back to the house of God, and Lot and them are fighting. And so what are they going to do? Well, I've seen some pretty good fights in the church house. That's sad, isn't it? We say we love our brothers, and we're going to fight you? It's pretty sad. Let's see what this great man of God does here by the name of Abram. Look at verse number 8. Again, there's a strife. Verse 8, Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. As soon as the problem arises, as soon as something has come up, that there's a fight between him and Lot and their herdsmen, Abram takes the road of what I believe the child of God should do, and he addressed the problem. He went to Lot. He didn't go to the guy next to him. He didn't go to the neighbors. He didn't get on Facebook. He didn't get on Twitter. He didn't get on the phone. He went to Lot and said, look, Lot, we can't be doing this. This ain't right. So we see that Abraham took this thing, the bull by the horn. He said, we shouldn't be fighting. Let's fix it. And again, so many times. And again, this is what goes against our flesh. So many times is we got to be right. Why do you have to be right? Why do you have to always win? If Abram would have had the mind of most people that I know, even myself from time to time, he'd have bucked up against Lot and said, let's have it out right here. But he didn't do that. He decided to humble himself. Abram had every right. He was the leader. He was the head of this house. He didn't have to back down to Lot. But he knew that there was something great that was at stake that needed to be taken care of. He said, this ain't right. We're brethren. We don't need to be fighting like this. And Abram went to Lot to try to fix this thing. And it's biblical that we need to go and try to fix things. Again, too many times we want to buck up. And again, that's not what God says for us to do. God tells us the opposite. Look over in Matthew chapter 5. We'll see it. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 22. This is what the man of faith does when it becomes strife. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and do what? And go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, that thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." What's he saying? He's like, you can't really, truly come and worship God when you got that hatred. He says, if your brother has hatred against you, well, bless God, he'll have to come and apologize to me. I've heard that, but that's not what God said. God says, you get up and you go. You address it. You try to make means. You go and do what's right. And again, but why? But it's not my fault, preacher. They did it. It's not about who did it. For the sake of the ministry, for the glory of God, we should have enough love for God to say, you know, it really doesn't matter anyway. And it's always... always, when you really boil these things out, it's so petty. Well, I didn't get my way. Well, maybe you'll get your way the next time. And I'll be honest with you. We was talking about an instance the other day about some older folks that we know. Let's pray, older folks, that we don't get childish as we get older. I see it happen so much. We're supposed to be leading this show. Let's not act like a bunch of children. Let's go beyond ourselves. Say my mama said this, I've got old enough I can say what I want to. That's crazy. It's better to have a little sense, not say those things. And again, we're talking about two men here that there's strife, and Abram takes the low road here and bows himself and goes and says, "Look, Lot, we don't need to be doing this. What can I do to fix it?" Look over in Psalms chapter 34. Again, troubles arise. People get mad. What are we going to do? Psalms 34. Psalms 34, verse 14 says this, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace," and then notice the next wording, "and pursue it." We should do all we can to keep peace. Sometimes you're going to have to bite your tongue. Sometimes you're going to have to hold what you want inside of you and realize, you know, just let them have their way. It's not worth tearing my family apart. It's not worth tearing our church down. It's not worth seeing people get mad and leave the church. Well, I wanted to sing that song. They didn't let me sing that song. Surely we wouldn't be that petty. Oh, yeah, we would. I was hot. I was cold. Is that what it's going to take to get you mad and quit on God? I'd hope not, but I've seen it. We ought to pursue that peace. Look also back over in Genesis. Abram was so wise in his being here. And again, we saw that in Galatians 5, how we need to follow after the Spirit, not the flesh. Look back at Genesis chapter 13. Look at this truth. Verse 8 says, "Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." Verse 9 says, "Is not the whole land for thee?" You see that? Look what he says. He says, "Is not the whole land before thee?" separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left, I'll go to the right. Thou depart to the right, I'll go to the left. You know what Abraham understood? Abraham, I believe, understood that God had given him everything. And there was plenty there. And we need to realize that so many times we get so bent out of shape on such little old things that we miss the big picture. Look at all that God has done for us. Look at how God has blessed us. Look at all these things that we could turn to. And we got our one little thing here, and we're going to let that one little thing keep us from enjoying all the spiritual blessings of God. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Give you an example of that. This is God had promised Abram everything that he could see was his. If he walked for the whole time he lived, he'd never walk over all that God had gave him. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse number 3. He says, blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's what we as believers have. Is not the whole land in front of us? Look at all that God has blessed us. Look at all that we've got. And we're going to let this one little thing get us bent out of shape? We've got to keep our eyes open and realize there's a whole lot bigger picture. Over at Romans chapter 8, verse 17, talks about how we're joint heirs with Christ. He also promises that all our needs will be supplied. God's good to us. Listen, this ain't, and again, you got to remember, this ain't home. James says we're here for just a little while. We're like a vapor, and we're gonna destroy our church. We're going to destroy the ministry that God's let us be part of over something that's so little. Abraham says, I'm not. Abraham says, look, Lot, if you want to go that way, God's got plenty for me to do over here. Lot, if you choose to go over there, I'll go over here. Why? Because God's given me everything. That's the attitude that we need to see in this great man of faith here in Abraham. So, again, God's been good to us. Stuff was the problem. And I'm thankful there won't be no stuff in heaven. So we see the walk of this man of faith. But now let's look for just a moment this walk of Lot and a great difference. Notice, let's look at Lot just for a moment. Look back over to Genesis chapter 13. Let's look at Lot. Look at verse number 10. Genesis 13, 10. Great difference between Lot and Abraham. Verse 10 says, and Lot did what? Lifted up his eyes. He should have bowed his head and started begging God and praying for God to intervene. But instead he lifted up his eyes. He was walking by what? Sight, not by faith. And you better watch what your eyes will do. There's four things this evening that I want to real quickly hit on this thought of the carnal man that this of Lot and what he was. The first thing that I see about Lot was that Lot was glad to have his way. As soon as Abram says, look, Lot, you go your way, whatever you choose, and Lot says, I'll do that. Lot wanted his way. What is that? That's selfishness. And we ought to realize that God didn't call us to be selfish. He always called us to put somebody else first, not ourselves. And we see here with Lot in that thought of a carnal man, Lot was selfish. And that's not Christ. Look over Philippians chapter 2. And again, I know our world does not teach this. Our world says you get everything that you deserve. You should have that. That's yours. Philippians chapter 2. This is what God says. Now, Lot didn't do this, but this is what God says. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 3. Let nothing be done through what? Strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, that's what God said. We just looked at two men, Abram and Lot. Who does that verse pertain to? Abram. He esteemed Lot over himself. We should want others before ourselves. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Lot was selfish. Verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5 says, submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. That's the Christian way. Well, I'm a Christian. Are you? Now, I know this don't make sense to a lot of people, but you can be saved and not be a Christian. Christian means you're Christ-like. If we're going to be Christ-like, look at Christ himself. He always put others. Do we? Lot didn't do that. That's the picture of a carnal man. A carnal man puts self first. And then this is, boy, this right here burns me. Because I know so many that need to get a hold of this. Not only was Lot selfish, but Lot failed to do something that and we're raising a generation up. They're already on the scene. And it's just getting worse. And it's a evident factor that people have got so carnal. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm just saying they're carnal. They're not walking in the Spirit. Not only was Lot selfish, but Lot failed to do something he was commanded to do. And Lot failed to submit to his elder. And again, we don't see much of this anymore. I have a very hard time watching children talk to their parents like they're dogs. And if you allow that, you're hurting that child. I'll tell you this, and I don't think my brother listens to me on the internet, but if he does, I'd say it to his face. He lets his son, which his son's 25 now, but this was way back when, probably when he's 16 years old. Man, it griped me. My son calls me Daddy. I don't think my son has ever called me by my first name. But my brother would let my nephew call my daddy by his first name. Man, that showed so much disrespect to me. Tried to teach our children, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. Why? That shows a place of submission. Well, preacher, we're all the same. That's what the world's trying to drive down your throat. Well, the Bible says we're all the same. We're the same in Christ. But he also says much about the elder teaching the younger. When we put everybody on the same page, that's the reason we have the idiotic things happen today of letting men go in women's bathrooms. That's where that leads. But Lot should have submitted himself to his elder because Abram at this point, was his elder. Look, preacher, is that just something you think? No, let's look at the Bible. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says this, says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be in subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Did Abram have to do what he did? No. But he knew for the sake of his family and his home. But see, Lot had brought Egypt back with him. And Lot wanted what Lot wanted. And Lot decided that he didn't care about Abram. And he didn't submit himself to that place of authority. I've said this before. I'm a nobody. I don't look for pats on the back. That's not me. Preacher Whalen's been in our friendship for, how old are you, Kerry? So he's been there 19 years. probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years after he was there, somebody asked him, "What's your preacher's name?" I could not tell you. I did not know his first name. I always called him my pastor. Why? Because I respected him in the position that God had placed him in my life. He was my pastor. He was not my equal. I'm not saying that to puff me. I'm just saying that it's a part of that spiritual walk that we need to be submissive. Even the Bible, and I know in our day nobody likes these verses, but over there in Ephesians chapter 5, wives do what? Submit. That's not what the world teaches. But that's the way God made it. It's just right that way. It works that way. Why? Because it's in order that way. And we need to learn to be submissive. We need to teach our children, hey, these older people with the gray hair, that gray hair means honor. And you need to respect them. It's just what God showed. And again, Lot did not show that. He showed his selfishness. He showed him wanting what was he thought was his right. Look over in Hebrews chapter 13. I'll give you this one. I've had people come up to me, you know, that's a senior and say, well, just call me whatever their name is. And I can't do it. I always call them Mr. in their last name or brother in their last name. I just can't do it. Let me get to where I'm supposed to be. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter, 13, verse 17. God says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that it is unprofitable for you. When you disrespect the elder, it's unprofitable for you. But when you respect the elder, it's what? Profitable. And we need to teach that. It's something about helping us to walk in the Spirit as God wants it. Again, Abraham, a great man of faith. Lot, a great picture of a carnal walk. So we see, first of all, that Lot was selfish. Second of all, Lot didn't submit. Third of all, we've already looked at it. Lot chose to use sight, not faith. He lifted up his eyes. Fourth of all, look over in verse 10 again of Genesis chapter 13. We hit this in just a little bit the last time. Last week, verse 10 says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, for the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. What did Lot do? He loved this world. He loved Egypt. Egypt was desirable to him. Lot didn't see. Abram, when he was in Egypt, saw the consequences. Abram saw that he disobeyed God and he repented and went back. But Lot did not see the consequences of going with the world. Look over in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's what that does. It draws. And that's what people, what the world's trying to do. That's the reason that fight between the spirit and the carnal man, this world is drawing, and you get your eyes focused in over there, and before you know, you'll walk over on that side, and that's exactly what we see here with Lot. He says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Lot. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He loved the land of Egypt. Now, you ever heard the saying, there's a ditch on each side of the road? My goal in my life as I walk with the Lord is to stay right down the middle. You can get one way or the other and you'll find a ditch on both sides. There's a lot of people, especially when it comes to money, you hear both sides of that story. People say, well, you're right with God. You'll have all your bills paid. You won't have no trouble. Well, that's a lie. We all know that's a lie. But then I've heard the other side of that story that, you know, well, if you're rich, you must not be right with God. You know, God wants you to be poor and humble and all this. That's not true either. It's not a fact about the riches, but if the riches have you. I know a lot of men that God has blessed beyond measure. And they just use it for God's glory and it didn't affect them. Then on the other side, I've seen men that's got riches that it affected them and they walked away from God. Look at this truth here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's a great statement. For we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fighting the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Look at verse number 9. There's a great key to this fact about riches here. But they that will be rich. They're not rich. But they want to be. Their heart's desire is nothing but to gain, to gain, to gain, to gain, to gain. That's what Lot had. Lot looked with his eyes. He spoke with the spirit of the flesh. He desired that land of plenty. And he stepped out. And again, that's the walk of the carnal man. Lot had a will, a desire to be that way. Is it wrong to be rich? The Bible tells us that Christ was rich. So apparently it's not wrong to be rich. What do you mean, preacher? Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's all about the desire of the heart. Second Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, Abram, Lot, man of faith, a carnal man. So we've seen a little bit about Lot. There's one more thing I want you to see this evening in this spiral and how these, I've said it before, every drug starts out the same way. One drink. One drink didn't make him a drunk, but one drink led him to be a drunk. A adultery. Man's not born an adulterer. He didn't wake up today and was an adulterer. But there was progression to get him to be an adulterer. What do you mean, preacher? Well, it's the same thing we see here in Lot's life. Let me show you this and we'll be done this evening. Look over back to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent, where? Toward Sodom. He wasn't in Sodom. But he pitched his tent, where? Toward Sodom. I love math. God, you probably won't be able to see this, but I'll use this piece of paper. The Bible, you know, people say, well, you're just narrow-minded. Well, you know, I'm not, but God is. God deals in lines. It's all through the Bible. There's lines. If this is the line that God, you know, that line, if you can see that line, just if you can't see it, picture what a piece of paper looks like. There's a line. God's put my life, and I'm walking through my life, and I want to stay as close to this line as I can. When I come off that line, it ain't too bad right at the beginning. But the further I walk along the way, I get further and further and further away from the line. Just true math. If you're walking this way and you come off 1 degree, by the time you get 20 years down the road, you're a long ways off that line. There's a progression that we can see here. And again, it tells us here that when they split because of the stuff, that Abram went one way and dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward. And I see it so much in people's lives. They live for God. They're living for God. And some reason something gets their attention. They begin to look at a job change. They begin to look at a bigger house. They begin to look at a different career. They begin to look at what they think their children need. And they take another job and they think they can have more money and they'll be able to provide more for their children. But really what they've done is they're not in that place where God wants them. They've turned their tent toward the world. And again, do you see that at this point, Lot is not in Sodom? Look what he says about Sodom. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. But that's where Lot has turned his eyes. He's pitched his tent that way. Let's run down a few verses. Look at chapter 14, verse 12. Verse 12 says of chapter 14, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt where? Where's he at now? He's in Sodom. That ain't where he started. He left and turned his eyes and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And just in a matter of time, now he's in Sodom. It's amazing how quick that works. We need to learn to stay away. He didn't start there, but that's where he ended up. Best thing to do is stay away. So what was his problem? Let me give you four verses tonight, and I want you to see the progression. Remember how we looked at those verses over there earlier? Were temptation, that lust leads to sin, leads to death. See that progression? Let me show you the progression of Lot. Look over in James chapter 4. Why? Because Lot loved the world. What does the Bible say about that? Well, let's see. James chapter 4. James James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." How does it start out? It starts out as a friend. Oh, they're just a friend. I know a lot of teenagers that just got the wrong friend. I know some wives that got the wrong friend. Why in the world would you go to the world with your problems? You think they're going to help you? No, they want to drag you down. So we see first step is friendship with the world. Look over in 1 John. 1 John 5:18. Let's see where it leads to. First John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world." So it started out just being friends. Now what are they? Lovers. But we were just friends. Our best friend. Well, he used to be my best friend. I don't talk to him much anymore. I've told him this before, but he decided to get a second shift job. His wife had stayed home with the children. She decided to get a first shift job. He never saw her. She never saw him because they were on two different schedules. She became friends with a nuthead at the place she worked. It wasn't long before that friend became a lover. It's amazing how that works. But God tells you that's how it works. So why do you think it's going to be different for you? You start befriending the world, before long you'll start loving the world. Look over Romans chapter 12. Where does it go forth then? Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not," what? "Conformed to," what? "This world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Started out as a friend. Turned into love. And before long, you no longer look like Christ, you look like the world. What the world does. It's where it leads you. Lot turned his tent towards Sodom. Now he's in Sodom. "Oh, they're just my friends. Come on down, Lot." "Oh man, I didn't know y'all had all this down here. I love this place." But before long, Lot looked a lot like Sodom. Seen it happen to a lot of people. Happened to me if I ain't careful. It's just who's walking, the spirit or the flesh. So it started out as a friend, went to love, then turned to being conformed. Look at the last here at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 31. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." You know what God's going to do this world? He's condemned this world. Thank God when I got saved, I no longer have that condemnation on me. But when I choose to walk in the flesh, I don't lose my salvation. But I still will find out that I'll find the same wrath upon me as far as that those troubles, those trials, and all those things that God says is against His will. So that's what the world does. It starts out, oh, I'm just a friend. Oh, boy, I love this. Oh, I'm just like this. Oh, I want that. And before you know it, you're condemned. And it cost. Look at the life of Lot. Look at what it cost Lot. He lost the majority of his family. Was it worth it? I bet he'd say no, it wasn't. Why do you think you're better? Why do you think you can come out better than Lot did? You won't. Poor Lot. But what about us? It all depends if you've taken your eyes off of God. Let me give you one other place, and I promise you this is the last. Look at Psalm 73. I want you to see this. Listen to it. Truly, God is good to Israel. Can we not say tonight, God's good to us? Yeah, but I didn't get my way. Truly, God's been good to me. Just because they didn't get the color toilet paper I wanted, God's still been good to me. We're going to let toilet paper get us all bent out of shape, fight and fuss. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are clean of heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Oh, man, I wish I could live like that. Why? Why would you want trash when you got the things of God? They set, verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, his water is a full cup and wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in the moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Lot went to Sodom. Abram went to God. Same choice I have. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the flesh. When you start to set your eyes on Egypt and you turn your tent towards Sodom, if you're not careful, you'll be in Sodom before you know it. Why go down that slippery slope? We know better. Run. Run. Run to where, preacher? Run to the Lord. So let's stand this evening.